Parshas Bahar, we have a very important pasuk which teaches us a little bit about business. And there we're told, Okana miyada misecha. Rashi quotes from the Toras Kohanim, Kisha tamocher, when you're doing business and you want to make a sale, Lom timkar elala misecha. A person should make a preference to try and sell the item to a Jew. Shenamar, because the pasuk says in our parsha, V'chisimchuru memchar la misecha, when you are trying to sell an item, it should be sold la misecha, to the person who is one of you. Uminayin, and says the Toras Kohanim, and how does one know kishu kone? How do you know it works in the reverse direction? When I'm a consumer and I'm going to buy a particular item, how do you know that lo tikna ela ma'amisecha, you should give preference to buy from somebody who is one of yours? As the pasuk says in our parsha, okana miyad amisecha. So this is what Rashi quotes in our parsha, that we should try and give preference to ours. So we should do business not only to sell, but also to buy from somebody who is a Jewish owner or a Jewish buyer. Now the Rambam writes that this extends well beyond buying and selling. The Rambam says it applies even to preference in terms of hiring as well. So if I run a business and I have the opportunity to hire someone, the Rambam says it's a great mitzvah based on our parsha for a person to go ahead and hire one of ours as opposed to hiring somebody else. Says the Rambam in Hilchos Matnas Aniyim, Shmona Marlos Yesh B'Tzedakah. Says the Rambam, there are eight different levels of giving tzedakah. Each one is greater than the next. Then he then delineates all the different levels and what the different variations of tzedakah are. Number one, he says, what is the highest level of tzedakah that there's nothing greater than that? Says the Rambam, this is somebody who holds the hand of a Jew. You make a partnership with him, you make a business deal with a Jew, and you try and help support his cause. Or, says the Rambam, mamzi lo melacha, you give him a job, kedei lechazik es yado ad shelo yitztarech lebrias l'shol, until you help him enough that he doesn't have to go around begging and helping and asking other people to help him. Says the Rambam, that is the highest level of tzedakah. Why is it the highest level of tzedakah? Because now you're putting the person on their own two feet and they're not going to have to come on to anybody else afterward. It's good enough for them to be living, self-supporting, being on their own. And this is what the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerudea as well, that there's a mitzvah not only to buy and to sell to a Jew, but there's also a mitzvah to hire. When we have an option of hiring two people, we should try and hire the Jew as opposed to hiring somebody else. This is really, the Rishonim write, this is really what the Mishnah perhaps means in Pirkei Avos. The Pirkei Avos says, V'hayu aniyim b'nei beisecha. You should make sure that there are aniyim who are part of your household. So the Rishonim ask, what do you mean? It's a special mitzvah that everyone in your family should be poor? Is that what the Mishnah means to say? We shouldn't have any money? We shouldn't have a job? No. So the Rambam interprets the Gemara to mean that we should try, if we're going to hire help for the house, if we're going to hire somebody who has to serve the wine, who has to make the best to do whatever it might be, says the Rambam, it's better that we hire somebody who needs the job and who's Jewish as opposed to hiring somebody else. And this is all a part of the pasuk in our parsha. O mimkar mechisimchu memcha la misecha, o kada miyada misecha, that we have a mitzvah to prefer the Jew over anybody else, and like the Rambam taught us, that is the highest level of tzedakah. Now we have an interesting Gemara in Bab Metzia, which has incredible consequences lahalacha when discussing this issue. So the Gemara says as follows. Pasuk says, in kesef talve esami, esha ani imach. You have somebody who unfortunately needs a loan because they're in some dire situation, so it says you have a mitzvah to go and help them out, to lend them the money without ribbis. Says the Gemara, what does it mean in kesef talva es ami, when you have somebody from my nation, from the Jewish people who needs a loan? Says the Gemara, ami v'nachri ban l'lavos. Let's say you have two individuals who come, both of them asking for a loan. So you have one as a Jew, one as a non-Jew, and I only have a limited amount of resource. I'm not able to give a loan to both of them, so I have to choose one. Says the Gemara, ami kodem, the Jew comes first. Again, there's no prohibition to give a loan to a non-Jew, but if you have the option, says the Gemara, to loan to a Jew or a non-Jew, the Jew should come first. Aniva Ashir, let's say I have a person who's very poor who cannot afford the basic necessities of life, and next to him is somebody else who wants to invest in a major company, they just need a couple of $1 million, and they want to raise the money. So, says the Gemara, it's very nice to help everybody, but when you have to triage, when you have to prioritize, help the Ani get through his dire situation, than to help the Ashir who's doing just fine without this loan. What if I have a personal Ani, somebody who I'm very close with, or Ani Yircha, someone in general who comes to me? Says the Gemara, Aniyecha Kodman, your own personal friend, your personal family who needs a loan, comes first. What if I have Aniyeh Ircha, someone from my general community, and Aniyeh Ir Acheres? So the Gemara says, the one that's closest to me comes first. So the Gemara says, there are priorities in giving out a loan. So then the Gemara asks, why did you have to teach me that When you have a Jew and a non-Jew who come for a loan, that the Jew takes precedence. Isn't that obvious? Pshita, says the Gemara. Of course the Jew comes first. Says the Gemara, no. Lo nitzurcha ela da afilu lenachri beribis uli Yisrael bechinam. We're describing a case where the Jew is asking you for a loan and you're not going to charge him interest. At the same time, you have a non-Jew who comes to you and says, I would like to take a loan, I'm going to pay you interest, so you're going to make money on the deal. Says the Gemara, even though you're going to make money on the deal, the Jew still comes first, which basically means you're doing it at a loss. Not at a loss, but at the loss of a potential gain. So says the Gemara, you have to be willing to do that, and the Pnei Yeshua writes that what you see from here is that you have an obligation to give priority to the Jew over the non-Jew, even sometimes when it's going to mean a loss of my own personal money that I might be able to gain. So there's a very important story that had a very historic significance, but it's an important story in general in Halacha about this idea. When we say that you have to prioritize a Jew over a non-Jew in terms of buying and selling, at what point do I say it's unreasonable? Let's say today, many people shop online. I know our family, we shop a lot online. We buy a lot of items online. All those shopkeepers online are probably not Jewish. I would imagine most of them are probably not. So I'm going and I'm buying from a non-Jew, as opposed to going into the store on Central Avenue, which will charge me triple the price. So again, it's buying from a Jew, but am I obligated to go ahead and spend three times the amount of money to buy that item from a Jew just to perform the mitzvah in our parsha? At what point do we say it's being completely unreasonable? So this was a major discussion in the late 1400s, early 1500s, that really was revolving around the issue of the reprinting of the Rambam. So there's a very famous story about the Maharam Padua. The Maharam Padua was Rameir Katzenelenbogen. He was born in 1473 in Prague, and he later on goes on to become the Rav in Padua and in Venice, and he was a recognized Gadol B'Yisrael of his generation. There was no doubt about it. Everybody recognized him to be a great and tremendous posik. In fact, his two Talmidim were the Maharshal, was a great man in his own right, and most prominently the Rama. The Rama was a cousin of his, of the Maharam Padua. They used to have correspondence all the time. So the Rama and the Maharshal were very close confidants of the Maharam Padua, although they didn't live near him at all. He also corresponded with other contemporaries of his, like the Maharam al-Shakar was one of them, and the Svarno, other great Gedolim. He was one of the greats of the generation. In fact, the Maharashdam writes in a tshuva, when he quotes something from the Maharam Padua, he says, Kol divrei harav ha-mufla Maharam Padua, divrei Elokim Chaim. Every psak that the Maharam Padua made was divrei Elokim Chaim, and he says, in the end of the tshuva, he says, Ein lachlok alav, nobody ever has the right to disagree with him. Ki mi yavo acharei ha-melech. Who would ever have the audacity, who would ever dare to start up with the Maharam Padua? We all know his standing, we know who he is, and therefore they held him in tremendous regard. So what happened? What happened was, one of the very seminal events in the life of the Maharam Padua was the following. There were those, just to give a historical context, there were those who were the Rabbeim of the Maharam Padua. One was the name of Rabbi Yaakov Palik, and one was the great Rabbi Shalom Shachna. The two of them were the Rabbeim of the Maharam Padua, the Rabbeim of the Rama as well in some way. And those two personalities were very opposed to the Rambam. Why were they opposed to the Rambam? So there were those who were opposed because they thought the Rambam's philosophy, they thought his hashkafa was wrong. Again, it's not for us to decide, but this was a major controversy at the time. But these two Gedolim were against the Rambam because they said, what right did the Rambam have to codify all the laws of the Torah? Now you're going to have a Dayan who's asked to be a Dayan on a Din Torah, and he's not going to look through the Gemaras, he's not going to look through the Sugyas, he's just going to check in the Rambam. So they thought that it was cheapening the opportunity for a Talmud Chacham to pass in a Shaila. Now they're just going to rely on the Rambam, when maybe there are opposing views, maybe there are other views that should be taken into account. And they were very upset that the Rambam codified his own set of laws. They thought he didn't have a right to do that. So they were very much against the printing of the Rambam. So it's funny that the two Talmidim, not funny, but it's interesting that the two Talmidim of these great Gedolim, number one, the Maharam Padua and the Rama, were very opposed to their Rabbeim's opposition. Again, what did the Rama do in his life? What was the great contribution of the Rama? He codified the Shulchan Aruch for Ashkenazic Jewry. So he was very opposed to his own Rabbeim's opposition of the Rambam. He said, no, the Rambam's right. So he said, you might be a little bit correct that the Rambam should have added some other sources. The Rambam should have said, well, if you want a little footnote here, look over there, see what the other Rishonim say, which the Rambam did not do. So the Rama adds in some of the details. And the Maharam Padua is going to do the thing. He wants to be mechazik the Rambam. He wants to correct all the mistakes in the printing of the Rambam. And he wants to add on his own commentary on the bottom to show that the Rambam was authentic and the Rambam should be used. And we should once again bring the Rambam into the conversation of Psak Halacha. So what happens is, He works very hard, long and hard, on putting out this edition of the Rambam. The problem is that there was a decree at the time that no Jew had any right to do any printing. There was a decree that no Jew had any right in Italy to print any books. So he realized the only way he can do it is if he goes to an Italian printer and asks him to take on this book that he worked on. The Maharam Padua was so excited to print it. So he goes to a Christian printer by the name of Bragadini or something in the 1500s, and he asks him, I worked on this work, and I have a manuscript of the Rambam, and I fixed up all the mistakes, and I wrote an introduction, and I wrote footnotes, and I want you to publish it. He goes ahead and he prints it. No less than a few weeks later, his chief rival, who was another Italian printing company, again, there were no Jews involved here, because the Jews had no right to print. So there's one Italian who had a monopoly on the market. He was not the one who was asked to print the Rambam. He was angry that one of his Christian friends went ahead and printed the Maharam Padua's edition of the Rambam. So he goes ahead and he issues, only a few weeks later, a cheaper version of the Rambam. And he goes ahead and he writes an introduction about how awful the Maharam Padua was, and he says that the Rabbanim from all over the world sent him letters that nobody should listen to the Maharam Padua, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and all the Chidushim that he wrote are worthless. Every two-year-old knows how to say these Chidushim. Worthless book. Everyone should come buy this book for cheaper than the first printing of the Rambam that was printed by the Maharam Padua. So this was a major issue. He was going to lose tons of money. He invested a lot of money in the printing. So he sends the Shaila to no other than his cousin, the Rambam. So he sends a shaila to the Ramah, who at the time was the Rav in Krakow. Now, by the way, when the Ramah became the Rav in Krakow and he passed in the shaila, he was 20 years old. That's how amazing the story is. So he sends the shaila to the Ramah to ask him what should be done. And the Ramah writes a letter back, and he says that the one who originally printed the volume of the Rambam from the Maharam Padua is the one who has the right, the copyright law, and there's no right for any other printer to come later on and print it again until all the copies from the first printing are sold out. Then there's what to discuss. But now, for now, he says, there's nothing to talk about. You have to rescind all of your copies. No one is allowed to buy it. And in fact, the Ramah wrote that any Jew who violates my psak should be put in cherem. And he said, no Jew has a right to violate the psak at all. And he went very much on the limb to save his cousin, the Maharam Padua, from being destroyed. Turns out later on, as a result of this psak of the Ramah, in 1553, 2 years later, this non-Jewish Italian printer was very angry that the Ramah got involved and made a psak and put everyone in cherem. So he went ahead to the government and he was malshin and he told them what was going on, and in the end they issued a ban for printing or possessing any Talmud Bavli. They said that because they were angry at the Jews for things that were written in the Talmud, they decided no one's allowed to print the Talmud Bavli and no one's allowed to own them in their house. So that was they say that was a outgrowth of this whole controversy, because he went and told the government about what happened. And then another result of the controversy was everybody made up amongst themselves that nobody ever has a right to print a sefer without making a haskama on the sefer first from the greats of that generation. Because had that been done, nobody would have ever had a thought of buying the second printing in the Rambam. They only bought it because they thought, why not? Go get the bargain. Go get the cheaper deal. Had it not had a haskama and you needed a haskama, nobody would have even thought to buy it. So those were two major consequences. So either way, the Ramah in the Tshuva delineates his psak halacha, and he explains why it is that he thinks everybody has to go with the first printing of the Rambam, and no one has a right to go with this controversial second printing. And one of the things that he says, B'tam HaShlishi, he says, the third argument that he gives is based on our Parsha. He says, here you have a Jew who invested so much money, the Maharam Padua, and we know we have a mitzvah in our Parsha to always try and prefer, if we have an option to give to a Jew or a non-Jew a job or to hire someone, you're always supposed to, Okana Lamisecha, you're supposed to go and hire the Jew as opposed to hiring the non-Jew. So says the Ramah, here you have the Maharam Padua who sweated himself out to go and make this beautiful work in the Rambam, and now no one's going to give him the money. They're going to go and support the Italian Catholic printer who didn't help him at all, who went and attacked him, who went and printed the Rambam at a cheaper price to try and outdo him. So the Ramah says, you have no right to do it. He says, "Hi nehu behedya beferish she'ilu lahaya hagon hanal rakeechad mebnei amei haaretz." He says, imagine we're not dealing with the Maharam Padua. Imagine we were dealing with any other regular Jew. Of course you would have an obligation to support him first. He says, certainly, certainly now I have an obligation to go and support the Maharam Padua. This is who we're dealing with. You cannot go and buy from the other one. Then he says, maybe you'll say this printing of the Rambam is cheaper, so the halacha doesn't apply when you have two stores that are selling the same item and one is cheaper than the other. How can you tell me I have to go buy from the Jew even though he's charging more money? Says the Ramah, Eilu Gamkein Hevel Hema. That's a ridiculous taina. It's not true. And he brings a proof from the Gemara that up to a certain amount of money, you have to go prefer the item from the Jew, and you cannot go ahead and buy from the non-Jew. Then he says, maybe he'll argue that there's a major difference here. The Gemara has a case that I have to be willing to give the loan to the Jew as opposed to the non-Jew, even though I'm going to lose out on the ribbis, even though I'm going to lose out on that money that I would have gotten had I gave out the loan to the non-Jew. Says the Ramah, maybe he'll argue that's only minyas harevach. That's only that I have an obligation to be willing to forego a potential gain. But how do you know I have to go ahead and be willing to actually suffer a monetary loss? If I'm going to buy a printing of the Rambam, who said I have to actually pay more money? Says the Rambam, no. Eilu dvarim davar ha'avodim. That's also a ridiculous claim, and he goes into the explanation about why he doesn't accept it. So in the end, this is what he said, and he comes out with the psak that everybody has to be willing to buy the sefer of the Maram Padua, the Rambam's printing, because you have to always be sure, like our pasuk says in our parsha, a person always has to be sure and be careful that they have the preference that's given to the item of the Jew over the non-Jew. So this is a very important halacha that very often is not discussed in our community, especially now that we have the option of buying online and we have the option of buying from wherever we want. We'll have to talk a little bit more tomorrow about where the cutoff will be. At what point do we say, this is ridiculous, I don't have to spend three times the amount of money to buy the item in the kosher supermarket if they're perhaps sometimes ripping me off. So that's something we're going to have to discuss in greater detail.